everyone, welcome to Comfy Club, an excuse for two best friends to talk about video games. And today we're going to talk about my favorite of all time, Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a nerd for this game. I was reading the Wikipedia, like in prep for this episode, and I got chill bumps reading the freaking Wikipedia.
I think that's a problem.
I think it is too. Oh, I think I do have a Stardew
that's
problem.
That's hilarious. Well, yeah. I got some stats for it. I say some stats. I have two stats, basically. Two and a half. Yeah.
Okay.
I figured I'd grab the release date, because that's always cool to know. In the off chance that you haven't heard of this game, you know, it was fully released February 26, 2016. And I think it's really cool to know the release dates of these games, because I would say, like, Stardew Valley, I don't think it's seen, like, a significant drop-off. It's not like we're talking about a game that people are not playing anymore. People are still constantly playing this game. And since its release, it's gotten a bunch of updates that have included new additional, pretty expansive content that I haven't even beat yet. And then the reception, all of the reviews on Steam, it is overwhelmingly positive, and there are like tens of thousands of reviews. So it is a very well-received game. You know, people love it. It's insane. And that's even before you get into mods that people make for it. And then I currently have 183 hours, which I was kind of shocked that it was so low, but I think I just play games more casually.
I mentioned in our first episode, I talked quite a bit about this game. Right now on Steam, I have 416.7 hours. And like I mentioned on our first episode, I had a save file before on my old laptop that got corrupted that had over 300 hours. And then I think I have about 100 on my Switch. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's definitely well-received in my heart.
Yeah.
And then you talked about the Steam reviews, but also just with, like, actual, like, critics, you know? Mm-hmm. It's got, the lowest one on here is, I guess, PC Gamer. They gave it an 80 out of 100.
When your worst rating is an 8 out of 10, that feels pretty good.
Yeah, everything else is 4.5 stars, 5 stars, 9.5 out of 10, 9. Yeah, it's...
Wow.
And it sold over 400,000 copies in the first 2 weeks it was released.
Wow. In two
yep.
weeks?
In 2 weeks.
That's
and
crazy.
And then more than 1 million in 2 months. Yep.
Do you know how many it's at right now?
Over 20 million copies across all platforms as of May 2022.
That's wild.
Yep. When it was released on Switch in 2017, it was the most downloaded game on Switch for the year. And it didn't get released on the Switch till October of that year.
So it beat out game that had come out in 3 months. It had more downloads than any other game that had come out that
yeah.
year. That's wild.
And I think the really unique thing about this game, if you don't know about it, it was developed, published, designed all by one single person. As indie as you can get. I feel like it really put indie games on, like, the map, too.
I think it really put out there that you can make an indie game. Because at that time, like, indie games, like, saying something was an indie game meant either it was, like, a small developing company of, we're still talking about, like, a dozen people, you know? With, like, some sort of financial backing a lot of times. Or it was a garbage game.
Right.
You know, like you would say, like, oh, yeah, my knockoff Call of Duty that barely runs on any computer and is terrible. That's an indie game. Like, that was kind of the perception at the time. And I think it's opened a lot of doors, both from a consumer standpoint, to be more receptive towards indie games. And I think it's kind of like broken a lot of barriers for people who want to make indie games, because it makes it very obvious that, like, no, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this a little bit more when we talk about his next game that's going to be coming out. But I think he really set a standard for making a game that's good on your own time, you know? Mm-hmm. So he likes to work in secret is what he says a lot. You know, like he just wants to do it. And then when it's done, he'll share it with everybody. And I think that's a really good thing to do, especially from an indie game standpoint, because then you're going to produce a quality product, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Something on the Wikipedia, the creator of Harvest Moon, I won't try to pronounce his name, but he said he praised it for retaining the freedom that later entries of his series had lost. So I think that's really cool. Wow. That's
some pretty high praise.
Yeah. So not only is it commercially successful, users, gamers love it, you know, and also I think fellow industry people really appreciate the game.
Yeah.
I just love this game.
Well, I've got some notes, just in case, you know, people haven't heard of this game. Somehow, if you ended up listening to a Cozy Game podcast and have never heard of Stardew Valley or don't know what it's about, like a lot of Cozy Games we're going to talk about, you ditch your corporate lifestyle and run away to a small town, inexplicably get free property, you know.
It was in this
game,
it's
explained. Yeah. In this game, they have like a lore reason that you just get free, a huge piece of free property, by the way. It's gigantic, you know. But yeah, you literally have like this cryptic note from your granddad that's like, all right, when you're ready to cut ties with the big city, here you go. And then you just like open it up one day, you know, it's like only open when you're ready, you know, and you open it up when you're the opening scene where it's like panning across this corporate office with like a skeleton that's died at its computer is like, that's pretty funny. And so then, yeah, you just move to this town and just start living your life on this little farm, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just like the classic cozy game start. You know, like you just move to a town, you get a farm for free, and you just make it work, you know?
And it was really one of the first I experienced, at least, because in Harvest Moon, for a lot of the earlier games, you were a male character, you had female, you know, romantic interests that you could mm-hmm. eventually marry. And then later games for Harvest Moon, you could choose if you played as male or female, but you couldn't date across the genders. And Stardew Valley was high praise because doesn't matter what gender you're presenting as your character, you can marry the male or female.
Any of them. Yeah. Yeah.
And boy, are there some good characters.
There are. So I kind of wanted to go into like some of the basic cozy mechanics, mm-hmm. you know, just to touch on that. You know, too long didn't listen. It's all of them. Every cozy mechanic that we've talked about, it has all of them. It's got the farming, it's got animals, crafting, cooking, relationship mechanics, rebuild the town mechanics. You know, it's got an actual like story about the town, you know, so it's got all of that lore built into it. So, I mean, it literally, like, it checks every single cozy game box.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick different outfits and your hairstyle and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And one thing that it has that you don't often see in cozy games is combat. So,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. there's mining, and then within the mines, there are monsters that you fight. So, yeah. But it's still, even with that, and even when the game, there are some challenging parts of it, like in the Skull Cavern. Skull Cavern's hard.
Yes.
But, yes, it is. Yeah, but it never loses its, you know, cozy appeal. It's like, you know what? I'm tired of dying in the cavern, so I'm just going to stay on my farm today and pet my cow and whatever. So
yeah,
it's got a little bit of everything for sure.
Yep. Yep. So it does have a fishing mechanic, which I guess some people think is cozy. Whatever.
I'll say, by the time, and you have these skills that you build, like in the fishing and farming, etc., when you first start out, the fishing is pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do have, like, actual skill building in it, so you can get better at it, and then when you upgrade your rod, like, when you upgrade your tools, obviously things get easier, and then with fishing specifically, there's specific bait you can put on to affect how it works differently, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's got, you know, an energy bar and a health bar if you engage in combat, if you run out of your energy, or if you're out past 2 a.m., you know, you faint.
Yes. Basically. And then the town doctor nurses you back to health.
Yes. Or sometimes...
after your body is recovered by either a monster that lives in the sewers or a hobo.
Hey.
You know.
Linus just likes to live off the grid.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no, I love Linus. He's one of my favorite characters. I feel like I'm really weirdly drawn to the characters in this game that in real life I think I would not like as people, because I don't think these people really exist in real life, you know, in this kind of way, or they're more disagreeable in real life, you know. Yeah. Like, if I described, oh yeah, he's like a middle-aged white man who wants to live off the grid because he was tired of the corporate stranglehold, I'd be like, it sounds like his parents pay his bills, and then they decided they didn't want to do that anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, Linus is one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. Honestly, the popular least favorite character is the mayor, ironically. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Which I never really, like, had that much of a problem with him. But to see people who, like, really dislike the mayor of this town, I'm like, damn, y'all. Okay.
It's hilarious. I love, like, hearing about how much other people love this game and, like,
their interpretations of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really great. We'll have to do a whole episode one day where we just talk about the characters and kind of rate them.
Yes. I thought about putting that in my notes for this, and I was like, that's a whole episode in itself.
Because there's a good amount of characters in this game. And especially in your dating pool, you have a lot of options. Even just the
dating pool is like 16, 20 people or something. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a good... definitely more than...
most other games.
Yeah.
Especially because you can date any of them. It's not like, all right, well, you're playing as a girl, so you only have the 8 boy options.
Yeah, there's 12 marriage candidates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I really overestimated that. Anyways, there's 45 people you can marry.
I mean, I think really the only life sim that I've seen that is this style that has more than that is Coral Island, which just came out, you know?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
It's a good amount. And I think
also, like, with Coral Island, it's impossible to say that they operated entirely independently of kind of the ground that Stardew Valley had laid. You know, obviously different developer, different publisher, different game. But when you look at that, it's very easy to say, like, okay, well, they probably played this, found things that people liked, including the number of candidates to be married to. So let's do that, and maybe we'll put in some more, you know?
Yeah.
It's very easy to say, like, okay, when we design characters, we need to plan them to be a romantic interest, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And then outside of the romantic interest characters, everyone has their own unique story, and it's not flat like you see in a lot.
That is literally the first note I have. What sets it above other games? Characters are not flat.
Yeah.
They have detailed backstories and, like, really complex relationships with other characters and with their history and with the town, you know? So, like, it's very interesting to see, like, these characters that when you first meet them have very strong personality traits and then getting to understand why that is, you know?
Yes. I love how much more you learn about their story as you build your relationship with them, because that's how it works in real life. You don't mm-hmm. say, "Hi, my name's JC. I have daddy issues." Like,
"Hello, nice to meet you. Here's my tragic backstory."
Yeah.
You know? Like,
so.
Oh, yeah.
What I really enjoy is a lot of the characters that have the personalities that you really wouldn't get along with in real life. As you learn more about their backstories and you grow your relationship with them, you're like, oh, you're not a bad guy, you know? You're just a little misunderstood. And now that I know yep. your awful backstory, yeah. I like you. And
I'm not alone in this. There are backstories that have made me cry while I'm playing this game. You know, like yeah. like George's backstory, that one really got me because he's one of my favorite characters. Mm-hmm. He's a crotchety old man in a wheelchair. And then when you find out why he's in a wheelchair, why he's crotchety,
girl,
I was literally sobbing. I had to step away from the computer because I couldn't see it anymore. I was like just bawling.
Yeah.
You know, and then one of the marriage candidates, he lives with his mom and his younger brother still. And you say, oh, where's dad? Dad is at war. Dad is deployed in an active combat zone and comes back, like, in the game and has PTSD. And so, like, you get to experience kind of, like, from the outside how their family is dealing with that transition because he's been away for so long, you know? And, like, stuff like that is really wild.
Yeah. It touches on a lot of deep topics, alcoholism. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The big S word. Yes. So I feel like I'm going to keep comparing it to Harvest Moon because let's be real, that's how this worked. It's
yeah.
Harvest Moon, then Stardew came along. Now we're getting things like Coral Island and things that are expanding upon that. Harvest Moon, the characters, it's just like, I'm the punk rock girl and
yeah.
I'm the farmer's daughter girl. And like, that's pretty much it. And you have, there's always like an old man, you know? Yeah,
it's very like Disney movie.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, my life is hard because I dream of leaving this beautiful town that's perfect in every way because I want to be different. And like, that's yeah. the characters.
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, your life is pretty easy, actually.
Yeah.
Like,
they don't have real problems. And yeah. on this game, these characters have real problems that. Mm-hmm. You get emotionally invested into.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why I married Shane my first go around. I was like, man.
Look, I can fix him.
I can fix him so good.
Oh, man. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But then.
I, of course, married. I always want to call him Alex because in my mind, Alex is a more punk rock.
No,
you know,
Sam.
Privileged suburban. I put a, you know, I played the guitar thing. But yeah, I married Sam on my first go around because I was like, oh, he's so cute and he cares for his brother and he loves music and skateboarding. And
yeah,
you know, people don't change after you marry them. I'll say that.
Yes. Yes.
You married who you yes. married, you know?
Yes. Facts.
Oh, man.
And with that, I don't marry Shane on my other playthroughs. We'll get into this when we go through like our ratings and how we think it's replayable and whatnot. But when you marry somebody, they move in and that like adds a room to your house and that you can't decorate that room. It is how it is. And Shane has the worst room.
Yeah.
There's like trash everywhere. There's muddy footprints. It's like.
It's. Yeah. Which is hilarious to me because I'm over here like, his room is so trashy. Except if you're watching this video, you'll see it's so like nicely cropped. And part of that is so that we can fit both of our screens on here, but what JC can see in Discord with the full screen is she can see my Panda Express cup, my tea mug,
dirty dishes.
Dirty dishes. Oh yeah, that's my office. I'm like, God, he's so trashy. I can't believe he has a room like that. His own room is such a mess. And I'm over here like, don't look.
Yeah, for sure. What do we want to get into next? Because I could talk about the characters, you know, like I said, for a whole episode.
Well, I kind of wanted to go over other things that I think kind of make this game more unique, you know, not just your normal, like, yep, you're farming and saving the town somehow, you know, revitalizing the economy.
I was going to say, that's one of the things. There really is. It's usually like, man, your farm is the economy in this these kinds of games. And like the rest of the town is pretty settled and does what they do. There's usually like a blacksmith guy and, you know, a seed store and a flower shop. But the unique thing about this is you have...
just like an Ace's Hardware, the smallest HEB you've ever been in.
Of course. There's the presence of Joja.
Yes.
So Joja's like Walmart, you know?
Yep. And so they, at the beginning of the game, they've just built a Joja location there. And per usual, they're undermining the local grocery store with lower prices. And of course, the local grocery store is owned by a guy who lives there. He's got a wife and a child who's one of the marriage candidates. He's kind of a jerk. And I haven't ever become friends with him enough to, like, see if something changes
mind.
But I don't think that... I was going to say, I don't think I've seen anything online that's like, oh, actually, I like Pierre. Everyone's kind of like, that guy. You know? But one of the cool things about this game, not that either of us have any experience in this, but you can align yourself with Joja. So... instead of buying local and restoring the town center and doing all that kind of stuff, you can become a Joja Mart member and fuel all your money and purchases into Joja and do tasks for Joja in order to build their kind of like foothold there. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen how that part of the story ends, and I don't think I ever will.
Me either. I start a save, a new one, and with full intention of like, ooh, I'm going to go the Joja route this time. I'm going to see what it's all about. And then I just can't bring myself to do it.
Absolutely not.
It's just a game.
Couldn't do
it. But I can't do it.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I like my cute little town, you know? I want to rebuild my little town hall. I want to do that, you know? But yeah, I think that's really cool that they have that as an option in there. And because it's not really like he's an antagonist or like, you have to really do a lot of work. Like, you can just ignore Joja Mart and just play the game. You know, it's kind of put in a different spot in the town where you don't have to go around very often. And, like, outside of, like, one or two cutscenes, like, you can just straight up ignore Joja Mart and just play the game like it's not even there, you know?
Yeah.
But it is kind of cool that you have something in the game to, like, be the bad guy almost, you know?
Yeah, once you do restore the town center, which is probably like my favorite aspect of the game, is collecting all the items you need to restore each area of the town center. That just really scratches my completionist itch each time.
So nice. They really like built that experience really well, because to restore the town hall, you collect bundles of specific items and then turn them in, and it will restore part of that building. And so there are different ones with kind of different levels of difficulty. Some of them are like location specific, task specific, all that kind of stuff. And so as you complete them, it will restore part of that building. And so it's really fun to, like, go in and see, like, oh, now this room is beautiful again, and this room isn't dilapidated anymore. Like, it's so nice. It's very satisfactory, for sure.
And it's funny, at the end, once you completely restore it, the guy from Joja shows up, And him and Pierre, the owner of the local store, get into a physical altercation. It is hilarious.
Pierre would fight a guy.
I think you can, like, talk him out of it. Like, no, don't. You know, we're better than that. Or you can just be like, nah, let's throw hands. And I always pick that option.
Punch him. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. But yeah, and so kind of, like, the other thing with restoring the town and, like, exploring and everything like that, something else that I think is really cool in this game is how many secrets there are around the town. And not, at this point, you know, a lot of them, this game's been out for 6 years. It's not very, like, secret-y secret anymore. But there's a ton of, like, riddles and puzzles for you to solve and, you know, like, things you have to do to figure out other things about the game, which is so cool because I think it rewards the player really well for playing the game, you know, and investigating things and trying out different things, you know?
Yeah, they're literally called secret notes that you can find throughout the town. And then they'll point you to, like, a certain location. And sometimes it's like, oh, you have to be there at this time of day. And then, you know, you'll find some sort of rare item or whatever. And then along with your basically quest of restoring the town center, you also have quests within the game. So there's a pretty big quest line that will eventually unlock this like casino area in the desert location you can travel to. And then there's obviously like quests with specific characters to help build relationships and unlock, you know, recipes and stuff like that. And then one of the big updates that he added, gosh, I don't know how long ago, but it's one of the quote-unquote newer things, is, is the town orders. So you can, like, pick up an order, and it could be, like, ship 200 tomatoes within 14 days. And then you get money or whatever the reward is.
Yeah, and kind of going along with that, a more recent update is it Fern Island? I always forget what it's called. I want to call it Fern Island. But there's like another, there's a new tropical island location that you can go to that's got new recipes, new items, new story stuff, a new dungeon, which is really cool, which I obviously am terrible at because, as you know, on this podcast, we're bad at games that have any sort of skill mechanic, and combat does.
It's Ginger Island.
Ginger Island. Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah.
I haven't gotten a whole lot into it either, because I don't, there's something wrong with me. I just start a new save, and just like, let's do it all over again, and
Oh, no. I'm very much like, I don't remember what I was doing on this save that I've got for in-game years on, but let's load it up and we'll figure it out. Who cares what Pass McKinsey was doing? Yeah. We'll just keep on trucking along.
I think if I had my original save still,
You'd be more attached to
it. Yeah, because every time I load into the game, I'm like, oh, I want to play that. Like, I can see the farm in my head that I had, and I'm like, I want that save. And so I pick my save.
It's like a ghost limb.
Yeah, that has the most hours. And like, this isn't it. And
this isn't right.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's hilarious. I know.
Trauma.
But yeah. I think that's kind of most of the stuff that I have about what really uniquifies this game for me. And then I just kind of get into like what my favorite things about this game are.
Okay. So I think one more thing is, there's different farm layouts.
Yeah, when they added that, that was so cool.
Yes. So there's like the river farm. So you just like rivers throughout it and you can fish more on your farm. It's Harvest Moon, the one that you like the most.
Tree of Tranquility.
Yes.
That one also had something similar.
You could pick which plot you wanted your farm to be on.
Yeah. So there were like different locations in the town and you would pick where you wanted it to be.
Yeah. But I feel like that's the only Harvest Moon that does that I recall.
I feel like you're right. Probably some of the newer ones have it, but you've played a bunch of the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they haven't done that.
Yeah. And it doesn't change like where your farm is on the map, but it completely changes like the layout and the vibe, and it introduces, you know, some unique challenges, each one. There's one that at night the baddies will literally spawn on your farm. Yep. So
fight them.
So that's really fun. And then you can also play multiplayer.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that is a really good thing to talk about today, which is so freaking cool, because I feel like when the game came out, it was single player, and I don't remember if he had talked about wanting to make it multiplayer, or was always just kind of like, I don't really know. When multiplayer got released, it was amazing. It's so, so cool, because I think one of the coolest things about it is you don't have to start a new multiplayer save. You can actually just make your current save into a multiplayer save. You're still the host, as like the owner, but then you don't have to like, all right, well, I want to play with one of my friends, so I guess I have to start over. They can just join your game. Like, you have to build them a little house and stuff, but like, they can just be in your game that you're currently playing, you know? Yeah,
it's really fun. And I feel like it's not limiting like a lot of multiplayer styles for these types of games are. Like, I don't need to be doing what you're doing. We don't have to stay in the same area.
In the same screen. Yeah.
Yeah. I can go mining for the day. You can stay on the farm all day and tend to the crops.
Yep.
It's really nice because then you can divvy out, you know, different tasks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun.
Yeah. So cool. And also, with the multiplayer, something I think is really cool is different players to get more people. You build them like a little, basically like a little ranch hand house, you know? And so they'll have their own little house that you can also decorate, you know? So you can like put them in different areas of the farm, or like all next to each other, and like rearrange your farm around that and stuff. Like, they made it fun to play multiplayer instead of just like, oh, now there's another body on your farm, you know? I think it's so cute.
Yep. Do you want to get into our ratings?
Yeah.
Okay. So, replayability.
5 out of 5.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Because, and I don't know, I feel like there, whatever the, have we done this? How many have we done this for? Two other games?
Yeah.
Oh, I think with Ooblets, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. With Ooblets, I think I rated it lower on replayability because I was kind of like, well, you just kind of do the same things every time. I think Stardew Valley, you don't have to play it the same way every time. But I think if you do play it, quote unquote, the same way, there is so much going on all the time that you can't possibly just like play it exactly the same way, you know?
Yeah.
So there's just a ton of different things that are constantly changing every day, like who you know, you have to talk to different people, you have to buy certain things. Like, there's just so many different mechanics in the gameplay that give you a bunch of different options, you know? And then I think with replayability, continued playability, it obviously is a 5 out of 5 with that, because you can just play this game forever. I think it does get to a certain point if you've done like all of the story stuff and explored every location and collected every item, like you can keep playing it, but at that point it kind of like loses its interest, I feel like. But
it'll take you a long time.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point. It's a pretty extensive game.
Yeah, I saw YouTube earlier and this guy had, I think, 24 years in game. So, you can play it for a while.
This man doesn't own another game.
Probably not.
Only, He bought a computer and he said, oh, I installed one game on it. I guess that's it.
Hey, if you had to pick, you know, three.
One game? That's a good game to pick.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously a 5 out of 5 for replayability. For me, I think what the creator of Harvest Moon said, that I got from the wiki. Yeah, once you complete that main goal of restoring the town center, that's kind of like when the game starts, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you can really get into getting all the achievements.
Because then you're working for yourself and yeah. not for those little sprites.
Yeah. And a lot of people try to finish the town center within the first game year. So that's
a grind.
It is, but it's fun. But yeah. So it's really a small amount of time just to get that main goal done. And then I just love starting on a new farm layout. I love pursuing the different romanceable characters. And yeah, I just love it. One day I will do the JoJo. I will.
Okay.
Just for the achievements, yeah, but I will.
When you get dementia and forget that you're a nice person and you hate capitalism, okay.
I just, just role play. Just got to get into it.
Pretend to be evil.
Yeah. You want to talk about graphics a little bit?
Yeah. So this one, I think I'm going to give a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Because I do really like the graphics, and something I was thinking about when I was looking at it is a 8-bit, 16-bit style game, and the style, they managed to make it kind of distinct enough to where when you look at it, you're like, oh, this is Stardew Valley, this isn't another game, this isn't this other game. So, like, with the next game that he's releasing, Haunted Chocolatier, when you look at that game, you see, like, okay, yeah, this is clearly made by the same person, you know? Like, the style's very obviously the same across those games. So I think, like, distinctiveness gets some points, but I don't know if I would give it a 5 out of 5 just because it is kind of, graphically, it's not wowing me. You know, like, it is distinct, but I'm not just like, wow, this is the coolest looking, you know, pixel game that I've ever played, you know?
I did give it a 5 out of 5 because I was really...
It changed your perspective on pixel games,
it
right?
It did. I did not want to play this game when I first saw it because I was like, I can't get into those kinds of graphics. That's not for me. You know, it has to be like Harvest Moon level graphics.
It's got
to
be beautiful.
Yeah. And man, I'm so glad I bought it. And yeah, it's really opened that world to me. And then it's nice that you don't have to just look at those all the time. You have also the portraits that you can look mm-hmm. at when you're in yeah. dialogue with people. And I think those portraits are really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then story.
Ooh, I kind of want to give it like either a 4 or a 5 out of 5 because I think, I don't know, you go first while I make up my mind.
Okay, I gave it 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I thought you would.
It's just the classic storyline and like we were talking about before, it backs that storyline up with the dynamic characters, with the story that it continues throughout the game. It's not like, your grandpa died, here's your farm, now go get married and make babies. It really, I feel like you continue to learn things about the characters in the town, and, you know, you have the whole JoJo versus local thing, you've got the whole desert place that you can get into that weirdness over there. And
yeah. Very weird.
Yeah. So, I really...
I think a 5 out of 5, because I think you make a good point with, like, learning more about the characters as you continue to play the game. Because I'll say, like, even in my 183 hours, I probably don't have all of the characters. I probably have them all about halfway full on hearts, because I feel like it'd be really difficult to not do that after mm-hmm. playing a game for like 3-4 in-game years. But, I mean, there's still a ton that I don't know about a lot of characters that I haven't prioritized, you know?
Yeah.
Mostly a lot of the marriage candidates, because I'm like, well, I don't want to marry you, so I don't really need to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm living that, like, BYU life. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm not interested in you, so we literally can't talk.
Yeah, there's some interesting ones in there.
Yeah.
Especially, like, Alex. I would never marry Alex in one of my saves, probably. But he's one of the ones, like, I would not like you as a person in real life. But then as you learn more about him, you're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Like, yeah, I've heard a lot recently because I feel like he's one of the people that a lot of people didn't marry at first. Because I think, like, when you look at the marriage candidates, I feel like Sebastian was a really popular choice because he's, like, the angsty goth kid, right? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to be a farmer and I'm going to be married to an angsty goth kid, lol. Like, and so I think Alex, the sporty jerk, you know, a lot of people were just like, screw that guy,
yeah.
You know? And so I feel like I've recently seen a lot online about people being like, yeah, so I finally decided I would, like, try to marry him or get to know him better. And then my perspective on him entirely changed, you know? So it's really cool that they've built dynamic characters like that and not in a way that, like, you fix them and suddenly they're likable. Like, yeah, they were kind of a jerk before, but then when you get to know them, you're like, oh, that does kind of make sense. Like, you really weren't that bad, but now it all, like, clicks, and I feel bad for thinking you were just a jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
You gotta break down those walls.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one is controls, and this is the only one that I did not give a 5 out of 5. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably a 4 out of 5. I think the controls are very straightforward.
Yes.
But I think combat is hard.
Yeah. Combat can be hard. They're very easy, simple controls. My only complaint is sometimes I hit the wrong square. You know, like, oh, I wanted to water that plant, not this plant. So I think if, kind of like how Ooblets does, I feel like if you could kind of, your square got highlighted or, you know, something like that, then it would be 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, and I don't play it with a controller, but I feel like, I'm trying to remember, and I haven't played it in so long, and I haven't played it with a controller in even longer, but I remember playing with a controller for a little bit and then switching back to using the keyboard and thinking that one of those was much easier than the other one, and it may have been the keyboard because you can just, like, press the directional keys, you know, but I could not, I think with the analog sticks, it was very difficult to position correctly because it's so much more flexible that I ended up targeting, like, diagonal squares more often, you know? So.
Yeah, for the Switch, it's literally like the computer game just on the Switch. And there are, I don't play it often enough on my Switch to remember all of the, like, quick controls for it.
Yes.
And so you can just use your analog stick, like, as a mouse in here. So then you're like, let me go open my quest over there. And yeah.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely easier on the computer.
Yeah.
But it's still good.
Oh, yeah. Well, is that all the ratings?
I think so.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, I wanted to talk a little bit about Haunted Chocolatier. Not a lot, because there really is not a lot to talk about. So Haunted Chocolatier is the next game by Concerned Ape, the person who made Stardew Valley. And right now they have no release date. I was looking at their website this morning. Their last update on their website for Haunted Chocolatier was December 2021. And in that update, he literally says, I don't have a planned release date, and I'm not going to give you one, because I'm not going to put myself under the pressure of, like, having this artificial deadline. Like, no, it's just not going to happen. And then also that this is, like the updates that he's going to provide are not going to be like regular or scheduled updates. He's just going to update if he feels like he wants to update you because, like we mentioned before, he likes to work on these projects in secret, which I think is a really good kind of thing to do because then you're not constantly facing outside pressure and criticism and thoughts that are going to get in the way of what you already have planned. So I think like from a design and development standpoint, he's making a lot of good decisions by just like, cool, I'm letting you guys know this is what I'm making. Here's a couple of cool screenshots and peace out. I'll see you guys when the game launches. When is that? Don't know.
Yeah, he's really committed to quality.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I think that's why Stardew was so successful, is he did take his time on it and he didn't release it until it was ready.
Yep.
And yeah. So, yeah, you see, he just posted, I try to follow him on Twitter, see if there's any, like, any new updates for Haunted Chocolatier. He posted on Halloween, and then before that, his last post was in August. So, yeah, he's been pretty quiet, but that's all right.
Yep.
I'll wait.
Yes, yeah, but a lot of people are really excited about it. The story is different than Stardew Valley, which is really exciting because I think it's very easy to fall into the trap, especially with a cozy game, that like you have a formula that worked, you know, just make it, but in like a little bit of a different setting with a little bit different characters. This game is, it very loosely follows kind of like the base cozy game format, I would say, where, you move into an abandoned location and then you produce a craft, you know, and that's kind of it. Because the story of this game so far that we know is you acquire, I don't even know how you acquire it, an abandoned and haunted chocolate factory, you know, and then you acquire resources and make chocolate to sell in your little chocolate store for the town. One of the big changes is he's described this as more of an action adventure RPG instead of a cozy game. You know, I don't know what that, a life sim game. Because I believe from what I've gleaned from the internet, the chocolate factory is like built on a haunted dungeon and you fight things in there and then like in the forest to collect your ingredients to put into your chocolate. So it's much more combat focused. He said that like the primary focus of the game is combat. So if we can learn anything from Stardew Valley, he's probably going to use the same combat system. So we better start practicing is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's shown a little bit of the combat. So you can go look at that if you're wanting to see how it compares. It is very similar. And even on the website, he says, "Now you might be scratching your head wondering exactly what type of game this is. I'm not sure how to best describe it. It's evolving organically as I develop it."
Mm-hmm.
But he says the gameplay loop involves gathering ingredients, making chocolate, and running a chocolate shop. So
yep.
Whereas Stardew is more of your typical life sim, farming heavy, Haunted Chocolatier will be more of like a shop management game.
Yep.
Which I'm really excited about. I love shop management games. Yes. And I'm just so excited to see what he does with it. Like he's, you know, the last 11 years, he's been all about Stardew. So
yep.
I'm not concerned at all with the quality of what it's going to be or if it's going to be fun or not. I know it's going to be great. So I'm just excited to get my hands on it one day.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about it because the few screenshots that he has shared of it have been very, very cool. Like, mm-hmm. The environment design is, it obviously looks the same. Like, when you look at it, you say, oh, this is made by the same person. But the actual things that he has made in that game are so different than what we see in Stardew Valley. So it is really, really cool. I'm very excited for it. And yes. Who knows when it'll come out. We can just keep being excited for years.
Yeah, there's this old game I used to play called Chocolatier. Mm-hmm. Did you play that?
No, what is that?
It's basically like a supply management game, I would say, where you have to travel to different parts of the world to buy ingredients to make your chocolates and then sell them. And then, you know, different parts of the world will buy your chocolates at a different price than others. And I really like, it's one of those old, like early 2000 computer games, but I got it on Steam. I still play it. It's fun.
We should do an episode on games like that yeah. are like old and are still playable, you mm-hmm. know?
So, yeah, I feel like it's really taking the parts of that I really like, and then plus everything I love about Stardew, and just putting it all in one game, putting it in a spooky atmosphere, and, oh.
I'm excited.
It's going to be perfect.
Yay. Well, awesome. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about with Stardew Valley or Honda Chocolatier?
No, I just love them.
Such a good game. Yeah. I kind of want to play now, so I might be playing that this afternoon. Take a little break from Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yep.
You know, play a different game.
Yeah. And once we start, we're planning on streaming eventually. We will kind of want to get a little bit more involved in our socials for the podcast. And once we feel like we're a little bit more established in that, I think we'll venture into streaming. So multiplayer Stardew.
Yeah.
Definitely going to do that. Table. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very excited. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to our Stardew Valley episode, and we will see you on our next episode. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye.